We're holding on Memzayin Amud Beis, about two-thirds of the way down the Amud, the line begins with Teira. We quoted yesterday a braisa that explained the basics of how Geirus is accomplished, and we were up to the guys Makabel Mitzvahs, Kibbol, we said Molonois Miyah, then we Malim immediately. My timer, why is that? Because, like we said before, Shahuya Mitzvah Le Mashahen. When you have a chance to do a mitzvah, you do it right away. You don't delay it. Yeah. We talked before about whether there is reason maybe to delay the mitzvah when you're going to be doing it in a better way, but here there's not really a better way. Just, you know, it needs to get done. The Braisa said, Nishtayru Boit Tzitzin Ama'ak Min HaMila V'chola, that if there are pieces of skin left that are ma'ak of the mila, then we say that you have to do it again. Kiditnan. What does that mean? Like we learned in the Mishnah in Shabbos. Elohen tzitzin ama'ak ben amila. What does it mean, the pieces of skin that prevent the mila from being effective? Basar achoifes roiv ha'torah. If you have enough of the foreskin left to cover most of the circumference of the atara, ve'ein erichol b'truma. And such a person, if he's a kohen, would not be able to eat truma. What do I mean by it? Rashi defines the atara as being the location on the gid where the arla is attached to begin with. I forget what the term for it, the corona it's called in English. As opposed to other, so therefore, if you have altogether most of it is still covered, then no good. Other mafarshim say that atara can actually mean the whole gland, the whole sloping part from there until the tip is also called the atara. So if you have most of the circumference of that is covered.
It can mean either
the corona, the point at which the foreskin at which the orla is attached.
That's
the thing. If you on a person who hasn't been circumcised, on a person who hasn't had a mila, the foreskin is kind of a flap of skin. It's attached at the base of the glands over there, and then it extends up, but it's able to be retracted. So what we mean by the atara over here, there's two possibilities. Anyway, the Amar Rabbi Yomi Ba'aba Amar Rab also Basa Achoyf Roiv Goyva Shal Atara. It's not only if it covers the majority of the circumference, but also if it covers the majority of the height. So again, you could say according to either of the explanations, if it just means the corona, then it means there's a certain thickness of the skin there. If most of the thickness of that skin is left in even one place, then you still have a problem. That would be according to Rashi. According to the other Mepharshim, it would mean if most of the height of the atara of the gland was still covered. Either way, then that has to be taken care of. Then we said Nisrapa Mabilonai to Miyad, that once the mila is healed, you tovel him right away. What? Nisrapa in lo nisrapa lo, which implies you wait until he actually heals. You don't tovel him right away. My timer, Mishum Demaya Marzumaka, because the water aggravates the wound. Which implies before he's healed, you shouldn't tovel him. Yeah. Why not? We just said before that you should do the mitzvah as fast as possible. Shahuya mitzvah lema shahinan. So why are we waiting until he heals before we tovel him? And the answer is partially for health reasons, because otherwise the water is going to aggravate the wound. Then we said, that two Tamar HaChachamim stand there and remind him about the mitzvah, kalos and mitzvah chamorus. So what do you mean, two? We said the other day that a ger needs a base of three, because it's called mishpah. You're right. Latana, we find that Rabbi Yechanan told Latana, who was staying over this braisa in his mishmedrash, he told him, Tani Shloisha, you should teach in the braisa. The word is not two Tamar HaChachamim, but rather three. And that's how it is. Then we said Tovol v'Ola Hareu Ki Yisrael l'Chodvarav, that when he tovels and comes out of the mikveh, then he's like a Yisrael for all purposes. L'mai Hilchsa, what do we mean? The Yehodrbe or Makadish Bas Yisrael, that even if after the Geirus, if he were to change his mind and revert to being a Goy, and then at that point he's Makadish, a Jewish woman, Yisrael Mumu Kodin Inve, we call him a Yisrael Mumu, we don't say that he's a Goy and therefore his Kedushin is not Kedushin, the Kedush of Kedushin. We don't say that Hechiyach Sofer Al-Tchilah, so that obviously it shows that he was never a ger in the first place. No, as long as he had proper Kabbalah and mitzvahs, then afterwards, if he changes his mind, then you can get in, but you can't get out, basically.
What do we say with Chodvar? We know that the gerim don't inherit that itself.
That's what we mean. That's for the purposes for which, obviously, right, we know there are exceptions. For example, they don't inherit an Eretz Yisrael, but right, that's what we're asking, that's it. Now, I mean, in practice, Batei Dinim nowadays, you know, if they see that a ger, after a short period of time, has gone back to his old ways, you know, then they won't necessarily say that the Gators was there. They won't necessarily say that the Gators was Cal because, you know, for one thing, nowadays we're for the most part, it's not like we said yesterday where Jews suffer so much on a day-to-day basis. There's more of a concern that this Ger, the Chachilah, was this guy for improper reasons if so soon afterwards he reverts, as opposed to in those days when, you know, with all of that and the fact that we're careful that he's not doing it because of marriage or whatever, if then he reverts, then, you know, we say it's a new thing. Now, then the Braisa had finished off. Echad Ger ve'echad Eved Meshuchrar. Now, the same dinim apply to the tevila of a Ger or a freed slave. Now this becomes a little complicated. Chasakadai, the Gemara starts by assuming the Kabbal of all mitzvahs. That what does it mean they're the same? Meaning both of them have to be Makabal on them mitzvahs when they're toiveling, both the ger and the slave when he's being freed. Or a minu, but I have a contradiction. But Isa says, when is all this talking about a ger? But a freed slave does not need to accept the mitzvahs. The pashtus because he was already keeping them as an Eved. Like Kasha Horubshim and Allah Zahorabanan. It's actually Machlokas Tanoim, the Tanya. The Pasuk talks about the Yifas Toya at the beginning of Parashat Kiseisa. You have a case over there, you capture a woman in battle, you chashakdaba, a person desires her, he wants her for a wife. So the Torah describes the whole procedure that you have to do before you're able to marry her, which we're going to talk about that as we go along in the Sugya. What Detanya, we learn in a Braisa. Now, as part of the procedure, the pasuk says, "Uvachsa saviyaves ima v'gaimer," that you have to leave her to cry for her mother and her father for months. And what do we mean by her mother and her father? We'll talk about later whether that literally means her parents or whether it means something else. Anyway, but medvar mamurim, when is that talking about? That you have to go through that whole procedure. That you have to, she's sitting there unattractive and either growing or cutting her nails. We'll talk about soon and crying, etc. Which, as Rashi says on the pasuk over there, the idea is like you see her day by day and she's unattractive, and maybe that'll make you just say, you know what, forget about it. Let me just send her back to where she came from. Yeah. So medvar mamurim, she's like kibla aleha. This is only if she did not want to accept on herself to become a ger. But if she did accept on herself, you don't need the whole thing. You can toivel her as a geirus, and she's mutter right away. That's the Tanakhama. Reb Shimon Elazar, even if she does not want to accept on herself to be misgayer, kaifa, you can still force her, you force her to toivel as a shifcha. Now, you can't actually use her as a shifcha. The pasuk actually says there, well, you're not allowed to make any use of her as a shifcha. But you do that first as a shifcha, and as Rashi points out, whenever you're toveling an eved, you're always doing it bal kocho. Not necessarily does the eved need to give permission, although we'll talk about that soon. V'chozer matbilu l'shem shifcha. Then you can tovel her again for the sake of making her a freed slave, or meshachra, and you free her. U'mutter b'miyad, and then also you'll be mutter right away. That's exactly the point. In other words, Reb Shimon Elazar is saying effectively you can treat her like an Eved. And the way Rashi is learning it, the way the Rosh understands how Rashi learns is that with an Eved, you never need a voluntary Kabbalah Samitzvah. Not when he does the first Tevila L'Shem Eved, and not when he does the second one L'Shem Shifru. That's what we seem to be saying according to Reb Shimon Elazar. Whereas according to the Rabbanan, you're saying that kind of thing wouldn't work. The only way it works to short circuit the whole Yifas Torah process is if Kibla Aleha. In other words, it comes down to according to the Shimon Elazar, you don't need Kabbalah Mitzvah at the second Tefillah. According to the Rabbanan, you do. So then, if we're saying before, if we had the original Braisa that discussed the dinim of Geirus, that says that echad ger ve'echad evan meshuchra, that just like by a ger, when he does his tevila, he needs kabbalah mitzvah, so does an evan meshuchra, that was according to the Rabbanan. The second Braisa that we just quoted, that says that but evan meshuchra does not need it, that is according to Reb Shimon Elazar, who says, as we see from the Yifas Torah, that they don't need it. Now, that's how Rashi learns. And Tosfos points out, according to Rashi, yes, technically you could be Megayer and Eved completely Bal Kochay. You make him an Eved to begin with Bal Kochay, and later on you free him, and you also your Machpelah him again Bal Kochay. However, Tosfos says, It's not a good idea to do that. First of all, you're going to be machshel him. He's now going to be chayiv mitzvahs, and he's not going to want to keep them because he never accepted them. Second of all, as long as he's your eved, he might be machshel you. You're going to think, for example, that he was made a proper eved, and you'll trust his cooking, or you'll trust his kasherus, for example, and really he'll daftar be feeding you treifus out of resentment. But in principle, Tosfos is saying, explaining Rashi, that would be okay. The Rif has a different shita on it, based on, as we'll go further in the Gemara, the Rif has a different shita, and the Rambam follows that, when you get an Eved Kenani, you do have to give him the choice. You tell him, basically, and we'll learn more about that on Amud Beis, you tell him, basically, do you want to become an Eved Kenani? Do you want to become, the Rambam uses the expression, K'ksheire Yisrael, do you want to become like a kosher Yid, and you're going to be chayiv in many of the mitzvahs? And if the guy agrees, then you do the milah and the tefillah. And later on, when it comes to freeing him, we're saying that you don't need another kabbalah of mitzvahs because he already accepted them at the time he became an eved. It's a little bit different. I mean, the halacha would be like the chachamim, not like Rosh Hashanah. But we're saying, according to the Rifs and the Rambam's explanation of things, is you do need to have voluntary kabbalah of mitzvahs one time or the other. Not like Rashi is saying that with an Eved, or in this case we're saying with a Yifas Torah, maybe you could bypass it and you don't need a voluntary Kabbalah mitzvahs at all.
Normally, if he doesn't accept the mitzvah, what happens?
Then we'll talk about on Amud Beis what happens. Amar Rava, my time is the Rav Shimon Elazar. So what's Rav Shimon Elazar's reason? Where does he get that you can force the guy to become an Eved Kenani and later on to be freed? Just see, the Pasuk says like this, Kol Eved Ish Miknas Kosef, it says any slave of a man who you bought with money, then the pasuk says you have to mal him and only then can you eat from the Korban Pesach. So what do you mean? Eved ish, like Eved isha? What's the word ish for? What is it telling us? Only if it's an Eved of a man do you have a chiyuv, but not if it's an Eved of a woman? There's no reason to make a distinction like that. Ella, no, what we learn from the word ish is Eved ish at the mol bal kocho. We can mal the slave of a person bal kocho. The at the mal ben ish bal kocho. But you can't mal a person's son if he's not a slave. So what does that mean? Rashi has two explanations. One is it means, if you buy an Eved from a guy, then you can force him to be mal even against his will. However, a regular guy, you can't force a regular guy off the street to be mal against his will. That would be Ben Ish, where he's not an Eved, he's just the son of somebody off the street. There's no forcible gerus in Yiddishkeit. That's one explanation. Rashi's second explanation is it means the Eved Ish is the Eved, even though the Eved himself is an ish, he's a grown-up, nevertheless you can force him to become an Eved, to become a semi-ger. However, you can't do that. However, a ger himself, if you have a goy himself who is becoming a ger, he does not have that power to do the same thing for his own children. If he has minor children, then yes, he can be megayer them along with him. Ger kot mafilin esal das beis din. But if he has adult children, he can't force them to be megayer along with him. No, we're talking about regular guy, and that's the thing. We're saying Eved-ish as opposed to Ben-ish.
Eved-ish
means an Eved who is a grown-up. Even though he's a grown-up, even though he's an adult, you can still force him.
His children are also
Avadim. His children, an Eved's children are not even considered his children, the halacha. Eved and Lechayis. But we're saying, in other words, as opposed to Ben-ish, as opposed to the son of a person who himself is becoming a ger, the person himself can become a ger, but he can't force his adult children to do the same thing.
Evan with children, that ish is only when he has children afterwards. But the children, he came in with children, same story?
If he came in with children, well, I mean, either way. I mean, if they're, we're saying, so what's happening to them? Is this Yid buying the children as well, or is he not? If he's not buying them, then they're not avadim, then they're outside of the picture.
Right.
We're talking, if he's buying them, then that's the same rule applies to them as to the Evan himself, yeah. So therefore, we see from that there is a case. We see that you can be Megayer and Eved Bal Kochai.
Can the master also be Megayer the children of the Eved?
If they're minors, maybe. I mean, we're saying that even the father himself would have the right to do that. Whether they'd have the right bar a bas mitzvah to change their mind and say, I don't want to be anymore, basic nish. Good question. I don't know. Historically, by the way, Josephus mentions that one of the kings of the Chashmonaim, Yerchin and Kohen Gadol, conquered, and we mentioned this briefly the other day, conquered an area in the south of Israel, the area where a lot of Adomim lived, and forced them to convert. What do you mean by forced them to convert? Evidently, it means similar to our Gemara over here. He made them Avadim, and according to Rav Shimon Elazar's Shitta, he was able to be Megayer, then Bar Kocham. in the end, it turned out from them came Hurdus, which that caused all kinds of trouble. But yeah. Anyway. Vidabban. Okay.
Proving the Chachamim's point.
Well, Vidabban, what would Vidabban answer to that? No, because again, according to Rashi, even the Rabbanan agree the original Mila and Tvila, the Eved, L'shem Avdus, can be Baal Korchai. It's only the second one that has to be with willing to fall to mitzvahs, according to the Rabbanan.
At some point in time, there has to be
Korchai. No, but if he stays in Eved forever, then there doesn't need to be, according to Rashi's Shita. Again, according to the Rif and the Rambam, yes. So according to the Rif and the Rambam, when Lachatchila you're buying them, then you have to ask them, do you want to become an Eved Knani or not, or do you want to stay a Goy? According to Rashi, it seems that you don't even have to give them that option.
When you free them.
Except when you free them, right? According to the Rabbanan, according to Rashi's understanding of the Rabbanan, if you're freeing them, then they have to be. That has to be willing.
There is a point in time.
But again, these people that Yerchan and Kohen Gadol was Megayer, the Pashtus, they remained Avadim. That's why we always say throughout Shas that Hurdus is considered an Eved. We talked about the other day. Agrippas was considered an Eved. Yeah.
What did he get my first
one? He wanted them to be as Avadim, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, the Eved laughing.
We'll get this soon. The proper thing to do when you get an Eved, is to make him an Eved Knani. That's the right thing to do.
Okay.
There is an option not to. We'll learn on Omid Beis. There's ways out, but yeah. Anyway. Rabbanan, what would the Rabbanan answer to that? The Omar Ula, they would learn the pasuk as follows. K'shem she'iyat amol ben ish bal kochai. No. What it means is just like you can't maul a person's son against his will, meaning, again, according to the two different explanations of Rashi, either a goy off the street or a ger himself being maul his own children. So also the same applies to an Eved Ish. So they're saying, Fakir, the word Eved Ish is not to say an Eved you can do Baal Korchai, but a Ben Ish you cannot. No, it means neither of them can you. And Ela Hoksiv Kol Eved Ish, so then what do they do with the word Kol Eved Ish? They use it for different limud. They use it for what Shmuel teaches. If somebody declares his Eved Hefker, then automatically he goes free. The Ein Sorach get shichru, and he does not even need a document to free him. Normally, we say an Eved Knani becomes free only by Kesef or by Shtar or by Rosh Evarim. But here we have another example. Here we have the master can declare him hefker
without Kabbalah Mitzvah.
That's what it sounds like. Not necessarily. No, we could still no. He Yotzel Cherus could. I mean, he still needs Tevila in order. He still needs Tevila. There's no question about that. Would he need Kabbalah Mitzvah at Tevila?
Well,
yeah. Okay, so that's according to the Rabbanan. Maybe if not, then he goes back to being a guy. I don't know.
I don't have to avoid the goy if you make the need.
Yes, I mean, it is true. You do have a mitzvah. That's true. There is a mitzvah to Esther not to free an Eved Knani unnecessarily. But if somebody does, then it's still foul. Yeah.
But in this case, when he's maskir, what happens? He's just maskir and he lets him go like that? Or
So at that point, he becomes a ben chorin. Now, does that mean he becomes a ben chorin and he becomes a full-fledged yid? No, because he needs to fill out at the very least. The pashtus at that point, he needs consent. He's not an Eved anymore. Maybe he goes back to being a guy. I don't know, really. But whatever it is, he's not an Eved anymore. Because the pasuk says any eved of a person who is bought with money, meaning eved ish. Again, you have to ask eved ish, v'loy eved isha. What is the ish coming to exclude? Not an isha. Ela eved sheyesh loy reshus l'rabbi olav kari eved. Only an eved who is master still has control over him. It's called an eved. V'shein l'rabbi reshus olav ein kari eved. If his master doesn't have control, if he declared him hefker, then he's not an eved anymore. So the rabbanon use the word eved ish for that. Nothing to do with whether it could be baal korchai or not.
Why ish, not ish?
So it's not ish, but not isha. It's ish as opposed to nobody.
Oh.
Eved ish, where an ish has an ish, meaning including an ish, has control over him, as opposed to where nobody has control over him, where he's hefker. Okay, so now we got into this because we were trying to compare an eved. We were trying to compare an eved to a yifas toyar. We said Reb Shimon Elazar is holding that you have a way of getting around the whole rigmarole with the yifas toyar by first forcing her to become a shivcha and then immediately forcing her to become a mishukhreres, and then you can marry her right away. And we're comparing that to an Eved Knan, to an Eved. The question is, Maskus Lora Papa, Eimer, Rishamas, Lora Rabbanan. And we said that Rabbanan, okay, that Rabbanan disagree, and that Rabbanan say that you need that if she's Makabal Mitzvahs right away, then you can toivel her. So Eimer, if I can, Eimer, Rishamas, Lora Rabbanan, V'yifas Toyer. You know when you hear with Rabbanan saying that you need Kabbalah the Mitzvahs, is by a fastener, the Lashayach of a Mitzvahs. Up until now, she was Bechlal not Shayach to Mitzvahs. What happened? You captured her in the battlefield. She was never doing mitzvahs up until this point. Of course, the Rabbanan are saying, at some point, there has to be some kind of kabbalah mitzvahs. aval eved, the shayach for mitzvahs, but when it comes to an eved, who up until now was shayach to mitzvahs, he did the kabbalah mitzvahs originally when you bought him, hachinami dafter the rabbanan moidu. Maybe even the rabbanan would agree that the second tefillah to make him a complete yid, maybe you don't need a new kabbalah mitzvahs. The time, yes.
So
what are you telling me? In other words, that you want to say that the two brises that are talking about an Eben Meshuchra, one's according to the Rabbanan, one's according to Rav Shimon Elazar, because we're saying Rav Shimon Elazar would say you don't need a second Kabbalah and Mitzvahs, and the Rabbanan would say you do. By a Fatar, they say you do. You need a Kabbalah and Mitzvahs. By an Eved who already was doing Mitzvahs, maybe you don't need another one. Yeah. The time, yes. We learn in a brise. Echad ger v'echad lakeach. Eben mina oved kuchavim, whether it's a ger or whether it's a slave who you bought from a guy, tzarech lekabel, they need to accept mitzvahs on them, which implies halakeach miyisrael ain't tzarech lekabel. If you bought him from a yid and now you're going to be freeing him, he doesn't need to accept mitzvahs again.
So the ger needs it means.
Well, one second. Well, no, because we said mina oved kuchavim tzarech lekabel, because up until as opposed to if you bought him from a yid, you don't need to. So mani, we have to ask, Rav Shimon Elazar, who would that be according to? If according to Rav Shimon Elazar, he said even if you're buying him from a goy, where he was never shayach and mitzvahs, you don't need to be mekabel. How do we see that? Because effectively, he said the same thing about a yifas toya. A yifas toya, you effectively bought from the goyim, because you captured her right there in battle, and she never went through any process of gerus, and yet you're saying that they don't need to be mekabel. Elo lav rabbanon. The pashtus, then this last price has to be according to the rabbanon. So what do we see? If you're buying a slave from a guy, and then he needs to be makabel. Avalekeach miyisrael and tzarech lekabel. But if you're buying him from a yid, not because he was already shayach and mitzvahs. He was already doing mitzvahs. He already had his kabbalah and mitzvahs by the first yisrael.
According to the rabbanon.
Yeah.
How can you deny that?
So that's the question. No, so Rav Shimon Elazar would say that fine, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. An Eved is an Eved. You can make an Eved do Malacha Baal Korcha the same way you can make him be Mekabel Mitzvahs Baal Korcha. But you're telling me, so what kind of proof do we have that the Rabbanan would hold that you can have a situation with an Eved where his last tefillah, where you don't need Kabbalah Mitzvahs? Where you do, Echad Ger Echad Evan Meshuchra, that you're saying that he does, we see from this that no, if you're buying him from a yid, you don't, because the pashtus, he already had it then. The Elakasha, Echad Ger Echad Evan Meshuchra, okay, well then very well, if the Chachamim don't hold, you need a second Kabbalah Mitzvahs by an Eved when he's freed, then what does it mean when the first Braith is said, the one that we quoted yesterday, says Echad Ger Echad Evan Meshuchra, what's the comparison? A ger, what's the comparison? The ger at his tefillah needs Kabbalah Mitzvahs, the Evan Meshuchra, you're saying, does not. The answer is Kitanya Hila in Tevila. You're right. The Braisa is not comparing them as far as Kabbalah Mitzvahs. The Braisa is just comparing them. Both of them need Tevila. An Eved Knani, he already had Mila when you bought him, L'Hatchila. Now, when he's becoming Meshuchro, now when he's being freed, you need to, and he did a Tevila then. Now he needs to do a second Tevila. The same way a Ger needs to do a Tevila. That's the whole comparison. Both of them need to Tevila. Not saying anything about Kabbalah Mitzvahs. It's true. The Ger will need Kabbalah Mitzvahs at that point. The Eved Meshuchro will not. Because he already was Mekabel when he became an Eved.
But if he was Mekabel when he became an Eved and he was doing mitzvah, so what's the table again?
You have to table him again in order to make him a full-fledged yid, because up until now he was an Eved. They only have to keep the mitzvahs that women keep. No, but that's what we're saying. He doesn't need a new Kabbalah to mitzvahs, because the Kabbalah that he did from before is good enough.
Even though it was only for...
Yeah, because the same way as we said about a regular ger, that you don't teach him all the mitzvahs necessarily before his gerus. You teach him the important ones, the basic ones, and he learns the rest of them as he goes along after he becomes a ger. Same thing by an Eved.
So what's the Elo Kasha? So the contradiction between...
The contradiction would be that we're trying to figure out... We had a braisa that said that both a ger and an Eved Meshuchra, it sounds like they both need Kabbalah mitzvahs by their last tevilah. But we found that Rabbanan, we said in the end, logically don't. We brought the last braisa that says that if you buy an Eved from another yid, you don't need to when you're freeing him. Yeah. Okay. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a braisa, going back to this matter of Yifas Toya, the pasuk says, V'gilcha esroisha v'asa siparneha. She should shave her head, and Rashi says on the pasuk over there, the idea is you want her to be unattractive, that way maybe you won't be attracted to her and you'll send her away. Yeah. And then it's v'asa siparneha. She should do her nails. Now what does that mean, do them? Rabbi Eliezer says, means she should cut him off. Rabbi Akiva, I'm a tagdil. Rabbi Akiva says just the opposite. She should let him grow long. Yeah. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, I can prove it, Rabbi Eliezer says. Nemra siya barosh, nemra siya b'tzipanayim. It says she should do something with the head. And that for sure means shaving, because it says b'gilcha. And then it says you should do something with her fingernails. With the hair, it means to take it off. So with the nails, that means to take it off. Rabbi Akiva, on the contrary, you can look at it the other way. Yes, it says she should do something with her head, and it says she should do something with her fingernails, but what is she doing with her head? She's shaving it and thereby making herself unappealing, unattractive. Same thing, logically, with her nails, what you want to do is something that makes her unattractive. What makes them
attractive?
Will make them attractive. I care. When she grows them, and then it'll be unattractive. However, I can prove a point towards what Rabbi Eliezer says that the va'asa sifanei means to cut them. The pasuk describes that Mephibosheth is the son of Yonasan, the today's Haftarah, the Yonasan and David at the end of today's Haftarah promise that they're going to be friends forever. After Yonasan is killed in battle, David asks around, are there any descendants of Yonasan around? Yes, there's Mephibosheth. He has him be a regular in his palace. He has him live in the palace with him and then takes care of everything he needs. Many years pass, Absalom rebels against David. David is forced to run away from Yerushalayim. He's away for several months until finally Absalom is killed and the rebellion dies out. Then the pasuk says, "Mephibosheth ben Shaul yored l'kras haMelech." That Mephibosheth ben Shaul, not the son of Shaul, actually he's the grandson, but whatever, came to greet the king.
Came to
greet David. Yeah, loy also raglav, loy also sfama. He had not done his feet, and he had not done his mustache. And my asiya havara. And what does asiya mean over here? By both of them means removing them. In other words, he hadn't loy also sfama means that he hadn't taken care of his mustache, like to trim it to look nice. So what would loy also raglav would obviously have to be a parallel thing that he didn't trim. Now what did he not trim? Rashi says it means he didn't trim his toenails. Tosfos says instead that no, it means Raglov actually here is a euphemism meaning what's between his feet, meaning his hair, his sarbeis erva. That normally in those days, apparently men used to trim that as well, and he didn't.
Showed that he had naked?
No. I mean, obviously it's not saying that he showed it to David, but in other words, he looks very unkempt, in other words. And part of a person's normal grooming in those days would have been to remove sarbeis erva, and he hadn't. Which the Gemara actually discusses in Shabbos. Now, there's two ways. You know, I don't want to get too far off topic because it can be a very long discussion. But a servant of Mephibosheth by the name of Siva goes earlier on and tells David Lashon Hara about Mephibosheth that really he's happy to see you gone from Yerushalayim. He's hoping he'll get back his kingdom. Now, when Mephibosheth comes out very unkempt, there's two ways you could understand it. Either he's been unkempt all this time because he's been worried about David, or that David is away, and then who knows what's going to happen to him, or maybe that he's mourning for the fact that Absalom was killed. We find David himself is very upset about it. Or Fakir, he's unkempt. He's looking very bad now because he's very upset. Ugh, David is back. Now I'm going to lose my chance at it. So David, in the end, ends up accepting what Siva says, and the Gemara discusses it on Shabbos. Is it, did David accept Lashon Hara, which he shouldn't have? Was Mephibosheth really telling the truth, that he was unkempt out of tsar for what David is going through? Or maybe was David right in what he did? That Mephibosheth, Taka, all that time was thinking, you know what, now I have my chance, and now when David comes back, then all of a sudden he's very upset, and therefore he doesn't take care of himself.
Depends how much he didn't take care of himself. If it's a long time, 3 months, then he didn't know that he's not going to come back.
Well, it was 6 months altogether David was away, but we don't know how long also it took David to come back from Eber Ayyad until he came back to Yerushalayim. Maybe in a while also.
He was upset that Absalom was against him.
Yeah, because it was his son, after all. It was his own son, yeah.
Well, wouldn't it be reasonable to say that his son was David who was coming back and calling him?
That was why David found it suspicious,
exactly.
Yeah. So that's the Gemara mentions, the Shabbos, that's Macholikas Amiroyim over there, whether maybe Tanoim, I don't remember, whether in fact David was guilty of accepting Lashon Hara against Mephibosheth, or whether he had a valid reason
Who was this woman that Lashon Hara?
Not woman, it was a man, Siva. It was an Eved, a servant of Mephibosheth, yeah. We learn in a braisa further about the Yafastaya, Uvachsa Savia Vesima. The pasuk says she should cry for her mother and her father during that month. Mamish. It means literally her father and her mother. She's not gonna be going back to them. She was captured. She's now gonna be in a whole new situation. You need to give her time to get over it, to adjust herself to the new situation. No, when it says to cry for her mother and father, means over the fact that she's never going to go back to worshipping her idols. And thus we find that in the pasuk that the goyim used to think of their idols as their father and their mother. It says they call wood, you're my father. So we see they thought of their deities, of their gods as their father and mother. Me a favor next time to do this beforehand. Okay. Tarsus points out, so what's the actual machlokas? One possibility is it's just, there's no real machlokas. This is, what does the pasuk mean? What does Avi Avi'ima mean in the pasuk? Or Tosfos says, what about, for example, what if her father and mother are dead? According to Rabbi Eliezer, there's no reason for her to be sitting and crying there. They're dead anyway. According to Rabbi Akiva, she's still crying for her getchkes, so then yeah. Well, they're always dead, but they were dead to her up until this point, yeah. Then the pasuk continues, Yerach Yomim, that she's sitting there and crying for a month. What does Yerach mean? Shlosh Yomim, means 30 days. Reb Shimon Elazar, I'm a Tishim Yom. No, it means 90 days. Yerach, why? Yerach Shloshim Yom, because the word Yerach implies 30 days. Yerach implies Shloshim. Yomim implies another Shloshim, because usually we'd say Yomim means 2 days, but once it said Yerach already, then we assume Yomim is the same amount, so another 30. V'achar Kein, and then the pasuk says, after that, then you can marry her, which means another Shloshim. So altogether 90. And Mefarshim discussed is this, they quote from the Sifri, who says that actually that this 90 days is because of Avchana, the same concept that we were talking about earlier in the Perek and at the end of the previous Perek, about that you need to be able to know afterwards if she becomes pregnant, whether it was while she was a goiter or now that she's a yid, according to that. That's why you need the 3 months. Yeah. Not everybody agrees to that, though, because we did say before that Avchana is only the Rabbanan. Mask for Ravina, so Ravina asked, if that's how you're darshing in the pasuk, Ema Yerach Shloshim, then say like this, Yerach means 30 days, Yomim Shloshim, and V'acha Kein Kihani. Then the V'acha Kein would mean as much time as has already passed. So you already had 60 days, you need another 60 days, so V'acha Kein would bring us up to 120 days, not 90. Kasha. Tana Rabbanan. Mekaimim Avodim She'en and Molin, you're allowed to keep around slaves who are not mauled. Rabbi Akiva says you're not. When you have an Eved, you have to mal him, or you can't keep him. Amalei Rabbi Shmuel, how do you Omer? What about, we have a pasuk that says, V'yinafesh ben amoscha. There's a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim that says that you have to rest on Shabbos, V'yim ashri tishpoit, L'man yanuach shercha v'chamerecha, V'yinafesh ben amoscha v'hager. And as the Gemara is going to explain soon, the word ben amoscha means an Eved who's not yet an Eved Knani. He hasn't been mauled. So we see the Torah is implying you're allowed to have one. Amalei, so Rabbi Akiva tells him, you know what you're talking about, the lekeach eved ben ashmoshes for his pikul mulei akas of a daber. The pasuk could be talking about you bought this eved right before Shabbos, you didn't have a chance before Shabbos to mal him. So that first Shabbos, the Torah is saying, nevertheless, you're not allowed to make him work for you, even though he's not yet an eved knani. But after that, yeah, you're going to have to mal him.
So regular eved knani can now work on Shabbos.
A regular Eved Kanani, for sure we can't. That we have in the Atzeret Adibris. Lo Yisatzeh Kamalocha Ato Rincho Vitecha Abdecha V'Amotcha. That means an Eved Kanani.
Now, these Shabbos people you would be allowed to tell
a goy to do malacha for you as long as that goy is not under your control. You could just minat Torah. You would be able to go find a goy off the street and tell him, I need you to, you know, please go and turn on my stove or my air conditioner or whatever. Midrabanan, you can't, as we learned in Shabbos, amirulakum. But that's only midrabanan. And therefore, so you can't tell him, but you can hint to him. You know, it's very hot in my house. And then I'm going to figure it out for himself.
Mm-hmm. washing dishes.
That's the same. There's a difference between whether he's tachat yodcha or not, whether he's under your control. If he's under your control, then there's a much bigger problem with it. It's true. There can be a big problem, for example, with having a cleaning lady or maid or whatever doing work on Shabbos, because they're more under your control than that. So yeah. So there can be certain problems about it. Yeah. Anyway. Okay, the Gemara says, "Dekula Amam Miyasvi Nafish Ben Amoscha BeEven Aroksiv." Okay, fine. Everybody agrees, at any rate, that the word Ben Amoscha in Mishpatim means an Eved who's an Aro. My Mashma, where do we see that from the words? The answer is Tanya. We learn in the Braisa. The Nafish Ben Amoscha BeEven Aro. What cause of a dab? The pasuk talking about an Eved who's an Aro. So after Omer BeEved Aro LeNeila BeEved Mohul. How do you know? Maybe he means a slave who's Mal. No, true. Omer LeManya Noach Abdecha VaAmoscha Kamoicha. When the pasuk says in the repetition of the Aseret Dibros in Rosh Hanan, in order that your Eved and your Amma should rep just like you, Hare Eved Mahol Amma. Obviously that means an Eved who's mauled and toivled, or Shivcho is toivled, because then they're like you. Ha'mani m'kayim v'inafesh ben amoska. So what is the word ben amoska? I mean, obviously, be'eved oro. So therefore we see, so both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva agree that the word ben amoska refers to an Eved oro. Rabbi Shmuel is just saying that means you can have an Eved oro indefinitely, or at least it seems like indefinitely, we'll get through soon. And according to Rabbi Akiva, no, you bought him right before Shabbos, that's when, but otherwise you have to mal him.
After Shabbos.
Yeah. Then the pasuk continued, v'hager. The pasuk finishes off there, v'inafesh ben amoska v'hager. What kind of ger do we mean? Zeger toshav. So this means a ger toshav. Which, what does that mean? Now, let's finish the two lines. Ata oimer zeger toshav ayinel ger tzedek. How do you know? Maybe it means a real ger. No, sure. Oimer v'ger chashev v'sharacha. It says the answer to the difference v'ger chashev v'sharacha. Had a ger tzedek omer. Hamani m'kayim v'ager zeger toshav. Now, what do we mean by this? A ger toshav? We're talking about a ger toshav resting on Shabbos? Akum Shabbos chayiv misa. So Rashi actually says no. What's the definition of a ger toshav? Where he accepted Sheva Mitzvah Pnei Nayach. He accepted not to worship idols anymore. Breaking Shabbos, Chilul Shabbos, is like Ovid Avodah Zarah. Therefore, Rashi says no. A ger toshav, in fact, has to keep Shabbos. Which it's a big chiddush. We never heard of that before. And Tosfos has a problem with that. So Tosfos says no. What it means is over here, if this ger toshav is doing work for you, you're not allowed to have him do that on Shabbos. That's what it means. V'gercha means when it says l'man yanuach ben amoscha v'hager means you can't have a ger, even though minatari would be allowed to have a goy off the street do malach for you, but a ger toshav you can't. Other mafarshim talk about, Tosfos Yeshanim over here talks on the side, that ger toshav over here has a special meaning that doesn't mean everywhere else. They say that ger toshav over here means, like we talked about yesterday, a ger who's in the process of being this geyer. He had his milah, he did not yet have his tevilah. Because he had his milah, and we said the milah takes him out of being a goy already, at that point we don't say on him, akam shabbos, chayiv misa. At that point he has to keep Shabbos.
But he's not a full
ger tzedek yet. So when it says, v'ger chashav yisharacha, and the Aseret HaDibros, that means a ger tzedek. This vei nafesh ben amoscha, v'ager, means this ger toshav, according to Tosfos Yeshanim, means this ger who's in the process of being this geyer.
Just saying, okay, so shovel works for you.
Well, that's the different ways of looking at it, yeah. According to Rashi, by the way, the Aruch HaNer points out, so what would Rashi do? I mean, truth doesn't Tosfos have a point, since when does a goy keep Shabbos? The answer is Rashi would say, it's akum sheshavas chayiv misa, only if he worships idols. Once he's a ger toshav and he's not worshiping idols anymore, we don't say akum sheshavas chayiv misa anymore. On the contrary, then, according to Rashi, he has a chiyuv to keep Shabbos at that point.
And it's more than 7
mitzvahs. I guess, though, it's not considered one of his official seven, but yeah. Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, halakeach eved min eved kechavim, if somebody buys an eved from a goy, and the eved does not want to get a bris milah, megalgal ima ad yud beis chodesh, and you keep on rolling along, like you keep on nudging him or whatever. You work with him until not necessarily nudging him. You work with him. You let things slide kind of ad yud beis chodesh up to 12 months. Loy mal, if at that point he doesn't want a mal, chozer merkel over to chavim. Then you go and then you turn around and sell him back to a guy. Which the Rambam points out, if he doesn't want a mal, he doesn't want to be an Eved Kanani, you can't keep him longer than 12 months, we're saying. Mephoshim talk about is this only, not Mephoshim, the Gemara itself is going to talk about, is that only according to Rabbi Shmuel, or is it even according to Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva, it seemed to be said before, you have to write away mal, and what kind of 12 months?
Right. I can see why you have to write away mal. had no choice. They had to make him.
Exactly. That by Yosef and Tangado. Yeah, because it was going to be a lot. It was going to be indefinitely. Yeah. Yeah. Well, wait. We'll get to it soon. Actually, there was a possibility that we'll get to it soon. One thing that Amnon points out, if this happens, if the goy doesn't want him, if this Eved doesn't want to be mal, fine, you can keep him for 12 months and then you sell him to a goy. You do have to have, though, that he accepts Shevim Vesupnei Noach before you let him go. Because otherwise, technically, the din is that when Jewish people are in control, if you have goyim in Eretz Yisrael, don't keep the Shevim Vesupnei Noach, you're horrid. And
so you
have to at least become a Ger Toshev, yeah.
Officially,
yeah, I mean, that's what happened with the seven nations of Canaan, right? Yeshua sent them the letters that you either leave the country or you accept Shem Mitzvah Menayach or you fight and we beat you. So, yeah, technically the Rambam says that, yeah, any goy who does not accept Shem Mitzvah Menayach, you're horrid. Yeah. I mean, that's only when Yadi sought to keep, of course,
right.
It's only when we have control, but yeah.
Well,
earlier in that same halacha that Amma mentioned, the famous thing that Rebbe used to quote all the time, that Siva Moshe Rabbeinu Gagur, a loku for Skobay Olam, officially, Alpi Torah, we have to force the entire world to accept Shevim Vesupnei Noach. So nowadays we don't have the forcible aspect of it, but there's still, yeah, that's why the Rebbe kochtzich in it so much, yeah. Amru Rabbanan Kameh Rapapa. So the Rabbanan said over this vote of Rabbi Shulban Levi about the 12 months Rapapa, and they said, you know, command the like Rabbi Akiva. It seems that this is not like Rabbi Akiva. The Rabbi Akiva, Ha'amayim Rekayim. According to Rabbi Akiva, we just said you can't keep him for any amount of time, unless it was Erev Shabbos Ben Hashemashes. Amru Rapapa, no. Afilo Kameh Rabbi Akiva. No, you could even say that this teaching is according to Rabbi Akiva. Hani Mili Hechit like Paschal Milse, because this is talking about when he never accepted to be this guy here. There was never a time when he was poisik when he agreed that I'm going to be nisgayer. Aval hecha the pascha lemil say pascha. But if he agreed to it, that if he agreed, Rashi says when he was bought, but it could also be from the previous Rashi. It seems it could be any time during the 12 months that he accepted. Then he changed his mind. Then pascha did accept at one point. So then you have to keep on nudging him throughout the 12 months to get him to stick to that commitment.
So it's in a case where initially you accepted, then you
and then he changed his mind, right?
And
so now we're saying you only have up to 12 months to get him to change back of his mind, otherwise you're going to have to sell him to a guy. So we're saying, even according to Rabbi Akiva, if Chachila, he never accepted on himself, then you don't get it. So Rav Kahana says, you know, I said over this teaching, this whole discussion in front of Rav Zvid Minahada, Omali, and Rav Zvid tells me, Ihochi, well, if so, let's go back to the Braisa when Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel were arguing. Why did Rabbi Akiva have to find such an odd case that when is the Pasuk talking about where you bought the Eved right before Shabbos and you didn't have a chance to mal him? Let him answer according to this. That's a case where he never accepted on himself to become a yid, and then you're allowed to keep him. And the answer is yeah. Chodim etrei time yikama. You're right. Rabbi Akiva could have had two possibilities that he answered. He chose one of them.
And therefore he doesn't delay.
And therefore, no. So therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, yes, in that case, you would be able to keep him indefinitely without mauling him.
For how long?
Apparently, indefinitely. Apparently, if there was never pascha, if he never accepted it to begin with, then you don't have the 12 month. Then you don't have the 12 month limit. Then it can be indefinitely. It sounds like.
But if he accepted
and then changed his mind, then you only have 12 months.
Tosfos means
that he made, yeah, verbally he said, you know what, I'm agreeing to, yeah. Tosfos, by the way, explains Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam, who says the other way around. Pascha and like pascha means the other way around. Pascha means that he said, that's it. I'm never going to do this. I'm never going to go through with the bris milah. Like pascha is like the Eved saying, yeah, maybe we'll get around to it.
So if he says, look, pascha, then you have to throw him out.
No, so that's the thing. So Tosfos explains that if he says, I absolutely don't want, then you have to throw him out.
Right.
Mashenkin, if he says, yeah, we'll get around to it, then fine, the next 12 months.
So it's in case
he has to be an eligible guy. If he wants to stick around by the Jews and have the good food and have a good life,
he's just smart.
He has to know what to say.
He's smart. Sholach Rovin Mishmeid Rabbi Loi. So Robin sent a message in the name of Rabbi Loi, and he added Bechora Boisai Omruli Mishmo, that all of my rebbes also said in Rabbi Loi's name. Ezo Eved Oro Shemutal Kaima, what kind of Eved Oro are you allowed to keep around? Zeshalok Kardaba Amanas Shaloy Lamulo. This is if the master bought, if the Jewish master bought him on condition that he's not going to mal him. Then you're allowed to keep him. He bought him on condition that he's not going to mal him. Then you don't have to.
No, he doesn't have been sold.
No, so the guy himself, whether the guy himself is selling himself, let's say, and he made a condition. Apparently, yes. That's what we're saying, that you're allowed to. And actually, in Shulchan Aruch, it says that, for example, I mean, nowadays we don't have slavery anyway, ever since the 13th Amendment, but whatever, and, you know, in the, a few hundred years ago when they had it.
Magna Carta, excuse me.
Excuse me, Magna Carta has nothing to do with slavery. That's now they.
Cool.
Come on, this isn't time for a history lesson. They have slavery in Egypt. They had slavery in England for 600 years after Magna Carta. Come on, we can talk about it afterwards. Anyway, so there were Jews in various times and places who owned slaves, and as Shulchan Aruch says, since the local governments don't allow us to mal them, then it's considered as if we bought them al tanai, not to, and therefore we don't have to. Historically, there actually, in the South, before the Civil War, there were a few Jews who owned slaves. Not very many, but there were a few. I don't know how many of them were actually Shomer Torah mitzvahs, but even if there were any who were, they wouldn't have had to be mal their slaves based on this, because they could have bought them al tanai that they don't have to. One thing is, some of Farshim explained, the reason why that works is because if you bought him al tanai not to be mal him, well then if you mal him, you're breaking the tanai, then the sale itself is void. Amru Rabbanan Kameh de Rapapa, so the Rabbanan said this over to Rapapa, and they asked again, Commander like Rabbi Akiva. Again, this seems to be not like Rabbi Akiva. Do you Rabbi Akiva Ha'amah in Makayman? We said before, Rabbi Akiva says you can't keep around Eved Arul. Amru Rabbanan, no, Afilu Temer, again, Afilu Temer Rabbi Akiva. Hani Mila Hechad Delay Asni Bahadeh, Rabbi Akiva is talking about where you didn't make it tonight. Aval Hechad Asni, but if you made it tonight, okay, you made it tonight. Okay. And then you can keep him. And again, Amru Rab Kahana Amru Tul Shmaita Kameh de Rizrid Min Adah, I told this discussion also over to Rav Zvimin Agah, Vamali, and he says to me, Ihochi, if so, then going back to the original Braisa, Kikamale Rav Akiva, Lakeach Eved Ben Ashmosh, Tzvayis Pekumulay, Lishne Leha. Why doesn't he answer him this answer? If your papa is saying Rav Akiva would accept this. And he answers back, Vili Taibech, Nuru Kun Timon Svaro, Lishne Leha. He already could have answered the previous one, that it was a case where Pasco or Loi Pasco, where either he at one time agreed and then changed his mind, or according to Tosafos that he'd say maybe, maybe not. Ella, so you have the same answer. Chodeh, but Shreya, it's the last time he had to give three possible answers. He chose one of them. Yosef Rav Chanina Rav Papi Rav Ami Rav Yitzchak Napcha Akilo de Rav Yitzchak Napcha. One time Rav Chanina Rav Papi Rav Ami and Rav Yitzchak Napcha are sitting by the kilo of Rav Yitzchak Napcha. Kilo either means his doorway, or it means like a canopy in front of the doorway, whatever. They're sitting there. The Yasu the Kamri, they were sitting and saying, Ir achas hoitzeh be'Eretz Yisrael v'lo'irotzu avodeh l'amul. There was a certain city in Eretz Yisrael where the Avodim did not want to do a bris milah. They let things slide until 12 months. And then they went and sold them to Goyim. The man, who did they do that? Like the Tana, like the Tana that we said before. You wait 12 months. Then the Braita continues. Rav Shimon Elazar, Ein Mashinoitz Eretz Yisrael, Mifnei Hefzet Taras. No, Rav Shimon Elazar says, if this is in Eretz Yisrael, in Chutz La'aretz, yes, you can wait 12 months. In Eretz Yisrael, you can't keep him around that long because of Taras, because you ruin Taras. Midrabanan, Goyim, as we had a number of times, Goyim, Midrabanan are considered Zavim. When this guy does Mila and Tevila, he's an Eved, then he's out of that, then already he's not Matamit things by touching him. But as long as he remains an oral, as long as he remains 100% guy, then he'll be metame things by touching him. You don't want him to ruin the kodshim and the truma in Eretz Yisrael. Midrabanan, obviously, we're talking. Ubira smuchol asfar en mashinoite kol ikar. Furthermore, also in a city close to the border of Eretz Yisrael, on the border between Eretz Yisrael and the surrounding countries, also en mashinoite kol ikar. You can't keep a guy, an unmalad guy, around at all. Shema yishma dava, because he may overhear things in the house when he's working around the house. V'yelach v'yemel chaveru Eretz Yisrael, and he'll go and tell over his friends who are goyim, and then the Jews are going to get in trouble from it. He's going to tell over. He's going to start leaking things that are going on among the Jews.
Mashenkin.
The goyim on the other side of the border, and then they'll go. They'll be able to use that to go and invade or whatever. Yeah. As opposed to, I guess the idea is, once he becomes an Eved Ivri, then we're not so worried about that. Then we're not so worried that he's going to feel on their side still. going back now, all this time we went into discussing now about the Avodim Kananim. Now going back to the topic of Geirus, one last thing. Tanya, Rav Hananya b'nei Shor Rav Gamliel Omer, mipnei ma geirim b'zman hazeh me'unin, why is it that nowadays goyim suffer, not goyim, geirim suffer so much, v'yisurin b'yin alei, and all kinds of troubles come on them, mipnei shalei kimu sheva mitzvah b'nei noyach, because when they were goyim, they did not keep the sheva mitzvah b'nei noyach. So Rashi says, up until now, if they had remained goyim, they just would have been punished for olam haba. Now that they're Jews, you want them to have olam haba, so therefore they get their yisurim in olam hazeh in order to take care of that.
Yeah,
we're talking Gerim, we said. Gerim, we're saying that Gerim tend to think of
keep Fisher, I mean, just,
when they were going, yeah. Historically, I mean, you have to, you know, one of the famous examples in history of a Ger who suffered, think of Avraham ben Avraham, the Ger Tzedek of Vilna, you know. He ended up getting burnt, Kiddush Hashem. I'm not saying that he was not Mekayim Shem Mitzvah Nenoyach beforehand, but I'm saying when the Gemara is saying over here, Gerim Bizman Hazeh Me'unin, why is it that Goyim that Gerim nowadays suffer? Yeah, there's an example of what we mean by that.
Rashaninu,
yeah. Rabbi Yossi says a different reason. No, that's not a problem because Ger should disguise Kachshanel. I mean, when a Ger is this guy, he's like a newborn child. You can't punish him for what he did beforehand as a Goy. That was a different life. So why do they suffer? Because they don't know the details of mitzvahs like Jews, so therefore they don't keep the mitzvahs as carefully.
Oh, but also got to look at it,
he gives a different answer because they Gerim don't serve the Eibishter out of love, Elam Yira, only from fear. From fear, Rashi explains fear of punishment. Tosfos discusses over here the different kinds of Abba and different kinds of Yira, but whatever it is, there's an idea that Gerim are not as shy as to Abba.
And why do you punish them?
Not punish, but in other words, so Maral explains it's not really a punishment according to this, it's rather somebody who serves Hashem me'Abba, meaning mitzad chesed, gets chesed. Somebody who serves Hashem mitzad Yira, mitzad Gvura, then they tend to be dealt with in a way of Gvura. But the idea is also the Maharal talks about that this way, since their avoida is not completely as it should be, it's only miyira. Therefore, the Eibishter brings yisurim in order to improve them. But the whole idea of yisurim is to improve a person. So this way, it helps improve them so that eventually they can reach me'ava. But I guess the idea is that yid is more naturally able to come to ava. Because they delayed coming tachas kanfei hashchina. They delayed becoming gerim, poshut. Amar Rav Abahu, Ritamer Rav Chanina, Maikra, what's a pasuk that expresses this idea? Boaz tells Ruth, Yishalem Hashem Polech, Hashem should pay back what you did. Utim askurtech shleima me'im Hashem Elokei Yisrael, you should have a complete reward from Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Asher bos lachzis v'goyim, that you came to rest under his wings. Which means, came is mashman that she came quickly. Like as soon as possible that she was able to become a geyuris, she did. As opposed, so therefore, the Aruch HaNer actually explains that this pasuk, that Boaz is telling, it actually refers to all the things we were talking about, is that Boaz is telling Ruth, unlike most geyrim end up suffering because of one or another of these reasons, you, none of these reasons apply to you, so therefore you should get a schar in Olam Hazeh as well. You kept the Sheva Mitzvah Minayach beforehand, you serve Hashem out of Ava, Asher Bof Lachsis, you come into shelter under the Eibishter's wings, so you're not just doing it Meyira, you're doing it Me'ava, you're careful with the detail, I see you careful with the details of mitzvahs. Rashi says over there on the Pasuk that he saw how she's being careful about Leket, for example, to only take what she's entitled to, no more, and you didn't delay, you came right away as soon as you could, so therefore, yeah.
Was very bright. I mean, not every woman nor every girl.
No, but the point is, no, so that's why Boaz is there, for we see from that pasuk that Boaz is telling her, because you don't have any of these problems that many gerim tend to have, therefore you should have a schar in Olam Hazeh as well. Shall we try to do a little of Memtes as well, since officially today should have been Memtes? If you're all up to it, then... Mishnah says, Ezeu Mamzer, what's the definition of a Mamzer? Yeah. Kol she'er basa shubala yavai, any close relative where you have a lav that you're not allowed to have relations with them, even if there's no kares. Divir Rabbi Akiva. And we talked about it before, we talked about it the other day, and Rashi and Tosfos discussed it over here, whether the Mishnah mentions over here, she'er basa, does that mean only if it's close relative? What about if it's only an isur lav, mitzad marriage? We'll talk about in the Gemara, for example, soita. Anyway, Shimon Atimni, I'm a kosher chayav malakaris bidei shemayim. Shimon Atimni says any, it's only if you chayav karis, which is a mitzvah bidei shemayim, but not just if it's a lav. But halacha kivara, but the halacha is like what he says. Which,
you saw that.
Yeah, so we mentioned that the other day. Tosfos points out, you can't pask in halacha just because the Mishnah says halacha kedvarav. Nevertheless, though, in the end, the halacha is like Shimon HaTimni, because we have various places in Shas that go according to that. Rabbi Yeshua, I'm a kol shechayav v'nalav Mrs. Beistin. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, only if you chayav Mrs. Beistin does it make a mamzer. Amr of Shimon Azai.
Three different opinions.
So Rabbi Shimon Azai says, I can bring proof for what Rabbi Yeshua says. I found a Megillas Yuchsin in Yerushalayim, because of Ba, and it said, an ish pointy mamza me'eshes ish, so-and-so is a mamza from an eshes ish. But kind of Rabbi Yeshua, that supports what Rabbi Yeshua said. Because if it was according to Shimon HaTimni, or according to Rabbi Akiva, why do you need to specify there was an eshes ish? Just say, so-and-so is a mamza, period. No matter how he's a mamza. But only because it's an eshes ish, which is Chayiv Mrs. based in, that's why they had to specify. Which Tosfos says in that case, why they have to specify Eshes Ish, to say he's a mamza mechayiv a missus? And the answer is, okay, because Eshes Ish, there's a chiddush in it, that Eshes Ish is only chenek, is the least serious of all the dalet missus based in, there's a way to be matir it after her husband dies or divorces her, she's not an Eshes Ish anymore. Nevertheless, though, you still have a mamza from that as long as she is an Eshes Ish. But the point is that the fact that they mention Eshes Ish supports what Rabbi Yeshua says. Continue the Mishnah. Ishto shemesa mutabachos. If a person's wife dies, he's allowed to marry her sister. Gersho mesa. Also, if he divorces his wife and later on she dies, mutabachos, he's also allowed to marry her sister. Because the pasuk says it's only b'chayel that you're not allowed to. Nisis la'acher mesa. Also, if a person's wife married, if a person's ex-wife married somebody else, umesa, and then she died, mutabachos, also at that point you're allowed to marry her sister. But not before that. In other words, even though once she married somebody else, she's also to you, as we've said many times, nevertheless, you still can't marry her sister as long as she's alive.
Yes.
Another din, yivimta shemesa mutabachos. So if a person's yivama dies, he's allowed to marry her sister. Chalatlo mesa mutabachos. So if he does chalitza to her and then she dies, he's also allowed to marry her sister. We said achot chalitza is midrabanan, but once she dies, then yeah. Nisis la'achar mesa, also if this Yavama who did chalitza married somebody else and then she died, also mutabachos, then you're also allowed to marry a sister. Which the Gemara is going to point out on Nunam and Aleph that at least one of these statements in the Mishnah is not really necessary. We could have derived one from the other, but okay. So the Gemara asks, my time with Rabbi Akiva, what's Rabbi Akiva's reason why he says that even from Chayiv Lavim, just if, but he says like this. Where in Bechlal we know the whole concept of mamzer from? The pasuk says, "Layovim mamzer b'kal Hashem." But what defines a mamzer? Now, two pesukim before that, it says there's a pasuk that goes like this. And the pasuk says, "Lo yikach ish es eshes aviv." A person's not allowed to marry his father's wife. "V'lo yigala knaf aviv." And he's not allowed to uncover the corner, literally the skirt of his father. Now, what? And then two pesukim later, it says, "Layovim mamzer b'kal Hashem." So. What does this mean? Dichtiv. The pasuk says, "Layikach ishes eshes aviv." A person should not marry his father's wife. "V'lo yigala knaf aviv," and he should not uncover his father's kanaf, which means kanaf shara aviv lo yigala. It means the kanaf, the skirt that his father saw, meaning had relations with. Ra is it can be used for arayas, like the hisira etavasei. Lo yigala. You're not allowed to uncover. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean? Lo yigala knaf aviv. V'sava like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Akiva holds like what Rabbi Yehuda says. The Amaban Nusas Aviv Akasim Medaber. When the this Yigala Knaf Aviv is talking about a woman that his father raped, or otherwise had relations with outside of marriage. In other words, if his father is married to her, that's Yigala Cheshes Aviv. We know already that's also that the Torah says in Parshas Arayis that a father's wife is also. Since it continues with this Yigala Knaf Aviv, and that means outside of marriage. So then we're saying it's only an Isur Lav. She's not also as Koris because she's not your father's wife. And the next two Pesukim later, it says Lo Yovim Mamzer B'Kal Hashem. So we know it's connected. Alma Mehani Avim Mamzer. That goes to show that from any of these things in the pasuk, Eishes Aviv, which is a Chiyuv Mitzvah based in, or Knaf Aviv, which is a Lav, is what produces the Mamzer.
As far as not going to tell him that he raped a woman,
he'd be responsible to find out. Before he married a woman, he'd have to find out whether his father ever had relations with her. That's only according to Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha actually is not like that. The halacha is like the chacham, we learned in the first parak, and we'll have much later in the Masechta that according to the chacham it's allowed. But anyway,
the
knaf of it, they say that knaf of it refers to a different kind of thing, which we'll talk about soon. They hold it does not refer to anus of it. we'll look at it in a few lines. Tosfos asks the question, it's two circum apart. You have in between the pasuk lo yavet psura daka or kruth shofcha b'kal Hashem. Why don't you say mamzer is from those? The answer is, what's psura daka and a kruth shofcha? Somebody who is unable to father children. Their gid or their vatsim or whatever are damaged. So obviously a mamzer is not going to come from them. Nobody's coming from them. Necessarily, you have to be referring back to the previous pasuk. Psura
daka and what's the other one?
Psura daka and kruth shofcha. We'll have later on in about a month, we're going to have a discussion in the Gemara of what exactly is psura daka and what exactly is kruth shofcha. But basically it means different injuries to that, to different injuries or damages or whatever, yes, in general. Okay, the Gemara asks, Ulrif Simori de Mabashav Chai Vilavin, de Lav de Sher. What about a point? De Mabashav Chai Vilavin, de Lav de Sher. What about a coin of Simori? We have, there's three different opinions within what Rabbi Akiva holds. So far we were saying Rabbi Akiva holds that, that any Chai Vilavin, where it's a matter of a blood relationship. In this case, your father is your blood relation, so his anusa is the one that's also. Rabbi Simoi says that Rabbi Akiva holds that even other chayvei lavin, even where it's not a matter of close relatives, also produces a mamzer.
How do you call these relatives?
So the lav de sh'er, they're not from blood relatives. For example, Rashi explains.
They are relatives, but they're not.
No, they're not relatives.
They're not relatives.
For example, according to Rabbi Simoi, if a person, let's say, marries a grusha, which is a lav, according to Rabbi Simoi's understanding of Akiva, that would, the kid would be a mamzer. Or many of the different lavim, lo yavei amonim, lo yavei b'kal Hashem, according to Rabbi Akiva, would make a mamzer, etc. And Rabbi Sheva's Mabra fil Chayve Esa, and then you have Rabbi Sheva's understanding of Rabbi.
He's very muffling, he includes all the loving.
Right. So that's what we're going to ask. Where does he get that from?
Right.
Yeah. And Rabbi Sheva's Mabra fil Chayve Esa, and then we have on top of that, we have Rabbi Sheva holds even further that even Chayve Esa, even if it's only also under an Esa, then it still makes a mam there, according to Rabbi Sheva's understanding of Rabbi Akiva. This isn't Rabbi Sheva's own opinion. Rabbi Sheva himself says, Boiru Netzabach. He says elsewhere, where this is discussed, he says, come, let's cry out on Rabbi Akiva. How are you talking? He's making so many mamzerim. But nevertheless, that's his understanding of what Rabbi Akiva holds. So he holds even Chayve Esa. What would be a Chayve Esa? Rashi explains.
His interpretation
of Rabbi Akiva. What's a Chayve Esa? What's a case where it's only also under an Esa? Rashi gives an example. The Torah says that a Mitzri or an Adomi up to three generations is not allowed to marry into the Jewish people. But it doesn't actually say, unlike by Moavi and Ammoni, where it says, Lo Yovei Ammoni or Moavi B'Kal Hashem, by the Mitzri and the Adomi, it doesn't say that. It says that Loisasayev Adomi, Loisasayev Mitzri, don't completely reject them. Bonim Asher Yivol, they will have Doshlishi, Yavol, have B'Kal Hashem. If they have three third-generation descendants, they're allowed to intermarry into the Jewish people. It doesn't say that. No, third generation, meaning and further.
Right.
In other words, the point is, there's an essay that after three generations, they're able to marry into the Jewish people. Which means if you violate that, if you do within three generations, you're over on a lav haba mikal essay. You're over on a lav, which is implied by the essay. A lav haba mikal essay is called an essay. You were over on a mitzvah essay. According to Rabbi Yeshiva's understanding of Rabbi Akiva, that also makes a mamzer. The question is, where are they getting that from? Maybe what we said as the main understanding of Rabbi Akiva, that it's a relative. Okay, snap off if it's a relative. Where do we get these other things? They answer nafkalahum mi viloy. They learn it from the vav over there. Viloy. The expression is lo yikach ish eshes aviv. Viloy galik knaf aviv. The vav they say comes to include other kinds of yisurim as well. That's the Rabbi Akiva. But Shimon HaTimni, where does Shimon HaTimni get his shita from? Sava like Rabbanon. He holds like the Rabbanon. The Amri, they say, unlike Rabbi Yehuda, that knaf aviv means anusas aviv, they say no. The pasuk is talking about a shemeres yavam of his father, meaning that his father had a brother who died, and his wife is a shemeres yavam. So that's what the pasuk is saying. You're not allowed to marry this shemeres yavam. The havilo chayve krisis. Now this is a chiyuv karis. Why? Because if she's your father's brother's wife, that's one of the arayis in the Torah. So therefore, it's chayve krisis. The sum of chayve yavim mamzer. I'm chayve krisis. Have a mamzer. So we see only chayve krisis, not chayve lavim.
That's
Shimon HaTimni. That's Shimon HaTimni. Okay, how about Rabbi Yeshua? Where does Rabbi Yeshua get that it's only this is based in? He says, "Lichter Rachmona lo yigala." If that's the case, if the Torah just wanted to talk about the Shemeres Yavam or the Anusa, the Bechlal did not have to say the word lo yikachish eshes aviv. Lo yikachish eshes aviv, the person not allowed to marry his father's wife. That's obviously not in the picture. That we know from elsewhere anyway in the Torah. Why does it have to say lo yikach? Lomali elolav hachikamar. L'chora, this is what the pasuk is saying. Mi lo yikach ad lo yigala habe mamzer. Only the first half of the pasuk, lo yikachish eshes aviv, is what produces a mamzer. But tfei loy have a mamzer, but any further than that, the loy yigala knap of him is not in the picture. That does not produce a mamzer.
That's what it says.
Lo yikach ishes ishes of him, lo yigala knap of him. So Rabbi Yeshua is saying, in other words, basically, you only focus on the loy yikach. You ignore you don't look at the loy yigala knap of him. The Torah is implying that only the loy yikach ishes ishes of him, which is the chi of misa, is producing mamzerim. Tosfos has a whole different explanation because, in particular, in order to arrive at this explanation, Rashi had to change the Girsa and the Gemara here a little bit. Tosfos doesn't like that, and Tosfos has other problems with it. So Tosfos explains that basically what Rabbi Yeshua is saying is, why did the Torah have to say both lo yikach and lo yigala? It could do one or the other.
Lo yikach
v'lo yigala. Why does it need both? It could have said lo yikach, and that would imply chayve krisis, because lo yikach means there's no kicha, there's no kedushin, which is the definition of chayve krisis. Or it could have said lo yigala. So the fact that it says both is coming to teach us that only the lo yikach, only the ones where kedushin are not typhus. That's where he takes it from. Amar Abaya says, "Hakol moedim b'baal a nida v'ala soita." Everybody agrees, even Rabbi Akiva, that if a person has relations with a nida or with a soita, meaning an eshes ish was mizana, which now she's also to her husband. So if somebody has relations with her, meaning if her own husband, that is, has relations with her at that point, she ain't avlad mamzer after she was mizana. She ain't avlad mamzer. Then fine, the child is not a mamzer. What? How do we know this? According to everybody, hakol moedim. Even Rabbi Akiva. Why? Nida d'har tafsi ba kedushin. The reason why by a nida doesn't make a mamzer because kedushin are toifas with a nida. If you're makadish a woman when she's nida, then the kedushin are chal. And Rashi says actually there's a different meaning of it also. If you're makadish a woman before she becomes nida, the kedushin doesn't evaporate because of the nidus. Shenema utihi nidasa alav. The pasuk says, "Her nida should be on him," which means afilu b'shas nidasa tafti b'kedushin. The word utihi, meloshen hoya, meloshen havaya, means being, is an expression of kedushin. V'yatzav ha'hoysel ishacher. So therefore, utihi nidasa alav means afilu b'shas nidasa. Even when she is a nida, tafti b'kedushin. Nevertheless, there's the utihi. There's still the being. There's still the ability to do kedushin. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva is saying that mamzerim are only from unions which are where kedushin would not be toifus. Kedushin is toifus with a nida, therefore no mamzerim. Soita namidah tafsi ba kedushin, and a soita also kedushin.
It's a lav.
It's a lav, but it is kares actually. It is kares, but kedushin are still toifus. So, because vatihi utihi nidasa olav.
We still think that it's a mamzer, then.
But that's the point. We're saying hakol moedim that not. Since kedushin are typhus, then it's not a mamzer. And soita namidah tafsi ba kedushin, and a soita also kedushin are typhus. Which Rashi says again, that means not that you can be makadosh her now; he's already married to her from before. It means the fact that she was mizana did not take away her kedushin. She's still married to her husband. He's also to her until she drinks the soita water. But nevertheless, the kedushin still exists. Tosfos explains a little differently that we're talking about if the husband divorced her because she was mizana. We said before he's not allowed to remarry her, especially if she married somebody else. But b'di'evit, if he did, not b'di'evit, whatever. If he did, the kedushin are tofus. Since kedushin are tofus, no mamzer. Tani nami hachi, we learned similarly. But I say hakol moedim b'val a nidah v'al a soita v'al shemeres yavam. Everybody agrees that if somebody has relations with a nidah or a soita or a shemeres yavam, she ain't avlad mamzer. Because all those three things are kedushin are tofus. The question is, okay,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, well, the question is, Abaya mentioned only two things. Abaya said Akol Moedim by the Nida and the Soita. The Braitha mentions three things. The Braitha also mentions Shemeres Yovam. Why didn't Abaya mention it? Abaya, because Shemeres Yovam misapkele ikirav ikishmor, because Abaya was not sure whether, in fact, Kedushin are toifas by Yavama or not. When the Pasuk says, Loisia Eishas Hameis Achutzal the Ishzar, that the Eishas Hameis is not allowed to go and marry outside the family before Yibum or Chalitza. Again, Loisia is Meloshin Kedushin, Havaya. The question is, does it mean that she's able to be Niskadish, she's able to do Tia, but she should not?
Okay.
Not Zika. We're saying, does it mean loisia, meaning she would be capable of doing tiyah, she would be capable of being niskadish by somebody outside the family, but she shouldn't, it's an isulav? Or does it mean the other way around? Or does it mean loisia, she is not able to have havaya, she's not able to have kedushin outside the family, kedushin on our surface. It's a machlok, it's Rav and Shmuel. That's why Abaya left it out, because according to Shmuel's understanding, in fact, according to Shmuel's understanding, Rabbi Akiva would say that a Shemeres Yavam, that a child from a Shemeres Yavam from somebody else is a mamzer. Whereas according to Rav's understanding, Takana. Let's leave off over here, I think.